be on a Canadian highway.
Correct.
So we show up there, and while we're going to this broker's office on like the second or third floor of this building that was there, and we're going there, and there's this guy, and he is arguing with the Canadian guys. And I saw a couple armed guard people, whatever, and apparently they were on their radios, and there was a couple other people headed that way, you know. And so they're kind of starting to pool up at this guy's truck. He was hauling chickens. He had this big giant cage on the back of a truck, pretty good size, you know, one ton, ton and a half, whatever, extended, you know, big giant box full of chickens, if you can imagine. So we come out of the broker's office, and there are hundreds of chickens, I don't know, 300, 500, whatever, hundreds of chickens running all over the place. I guess the guy got tired of it, couldn't take the chickens back to the U.S., they wouldn't accept them, whatever, and the guy literally, just because of the hassle he was getting, opened the back doors on his chicken truck, and basically herded all the chickens out to the yard, and they got all busy chasing them enough that basically they told him to leave, and so he was trying to get back in his truck, and they were trying to detain him, and he was literally just going to drive back home with no chickens and just leave them all in this common area. It'd be kind of like an airport, except for tractor trailers. Anyway, you see all these people out there chasing all these chickens around, and there was a lot more chickens than people.
Colonel Sanders to the rescue.
I guess that's one thing of one way of thumbing your nose at the bounty, I think is what they called those people. But anyway, it was a sight to see how many at that point, I guess they would be called free range chickens.
Sounds kind of a fun afternoon, and they are Mounties, Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
All right, gentlemen, with that being said, I'm going to have to say 73 and go off to La La Land, but yeah, so tons of chickens running around. Don't do that, and if you take cards of Marlboros up there, two per person, split them up between everybody. And Denny had already figured that out, so he was obviously taking more than two cartons to go trade off.
I wasn't going to trade them. I wanted them for me.
She said you didn't smoke at the time. But, yeah, I didn't smoke at the time. And I said, however, once we got there, we had Cuban. They had Cuban cigars available in Canada, and you couldn't get them anywhere else here in the U.S. at the time.
It's still that way.
They got some blends nowadays, and I think they have opened up some trade to Cuba. Maybe it's just if you know the right people, but I have been a couple of places where somebody offers you a Cuban cigar.
I am not a cigar consumer, so I would have no idea. I just know that they might be allowed to bring in a few, but I don't know. Don't know if we don't have open trade with Cuba, but we got reciprocal licensing. However, you can operate your radio in Cuba on a reciprocal agreement, so no problem there. But you just don't take in or out cigars, I guess.
With last whatever that's been, what's the band been, 30, 40 years, 50 years? They have crossbred some stuff that it's basically there anyway. That they do in some Central America countries, and they've done them from there since they're exporting from somewhere else. Honestly, side by side, not that much difference. And at some point, you're kind of like, hey, the lackluster of the idea, I guess, of a Cuban cigar versus a different one. And you go to Mexico, you get them all day long too. They don't care. And if you're down there and bring them back, they just reband them. And you can sit there and open the box yourself, and they'll let people, I haven't done this, but I saw it done, where they literally open the box themselves, and they hand you a package of bands, and you reband those cigars and stick them in a different box, and then all of a sudden it is a different cigar, kind of.
I'm not into importing cigars there, but in talking to a couple friends of mine who are cigar smokers, there is a difference between Cuban cigars in Cuba and those that think they're Cuban cigars made in somewhere else. They're good quality, but they're not the same, they say. There, to them, there is a difference, so okay.
Hey, get what you pay for, and as long as you enjoy it, and if it goes up in smoke, it's about like putting it in a slot machine, I guess. Entertainment.
Don't know. Not, like I say, I don't smoke cigars. I can't stand them. I like smelling them from other people smoking them, but I can't. But some of them smell pretty good. But anyhow, don't know. I'm not into cigar smoking.
And I'll let it go with that. But yeah, I know little bands, they all have little bands on them, say where they come from, and they don't test anything on them. But if it has a band from somewhere else, they just let them come on in, and it's the same thing, can just be rebanded and imported, and as long as you know where it's coming from, things. But anyway, it's, you know, it's like anything else. They pass rules and laws, and I mean, you look at the illicit drugs and all the other stuff come across the border. I mean, if they can import that stuff, they can import just about anything you want. You know, it's very unfortunate in some ways, and other ways, you know what they're doing. But yeah, the Canadians are very particular about a lot of things, and it's a curious sort of people. I'll never forget the time up there when to go buy a beer, one beer, how far you had to drive and what you had to go through, and yet other places, things are much more readily available around like resort type areas, but the regular old countryside out somewhere, they just don't have access to it like we would run to a convenience store or even a liquor store. And you go to a place like California stuff, and I mean, heck, the Homeland we're in there had a wine guy just for Homeland. I mean, the guy that's his old job is tell you about the wines on the shelf inside of a Homeland grocery store. But up there it was a different deal altogether. If you just wanted to literally go in a restaurant and have a beer, you just couldn't do it.
Yeah, Texas is kind of that way. There's places where you can and places where you can't. And so is Kansas, I think, where there's certain areas that you can't get. Oklahoma was that way a while back, but it's pretty well gone now. But there are some counties and cities where you can't buy booze, and even in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I think they're few and far between these days. The weird thing, I know it's different today, but when I was going to school down in Gainesville back in, well, Gainesville was dry. Now, Cook County was not. And there's places you could go within 7 miles of the city of Gainesville and buy anything you wanted, but not in the city of Gainesville.
Yeah, Texas is full of all kinds of wet and dry areas, so that they are.
Yeah, but in not anything like what it once was, I don't think. I think a lot of the dry areas that were dry once upon a time aren't anymore. I know Gainesville is no longer dry.
I don't have a list of who is and who ain't, because I'm not a beer drinker or whatever, but anyhow, I just know they still have them in parts of Oklahoma also, but just not as much. California, yeah, everything's available in the local liquor store, grocery store, and everywhere else. 7-Eleven, everything. But anyhow, that's there, and this is here.
It's going to be here come November, or later on this year, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I know it's going to change it. Exactly what and how, I do not know, but I know they'll be able to sell High Point cold beer. I know they're doing that. And they're given enough time for the establishments to get in the coolers so they can keep their high content beer cold, which you can't do at the moment.
Yeah, that, plus you won't have to go to the liquor store to get it.
That's why I say they're putting in coolers all over the place. Yeah, but it's just not wide open like it. You can't, I don't know if you can buy whiskey at the local store anymore. You still got to go to the liquor store.
Roger, yeah, it ain't. I don't think that there's nowhere that I know of that you can actually go to a local store and buy your grocery store type place and buy hard liquor. Now there's, the place where we bought beer and all that kind of stuff when I was going to school down in Texas, part of it was a package store and part of it was a regular convenience store type thing.
Alright, I'm off to bed, guys. 73, KG5QZ.
Okay, CJ, well, have a good evening and best 73.
We'll catch you later, DJ, and Dean. I reckon I'll catch you later, too, there, bud. WA6DKD. KG5QEZ, KD5CKK, 73.
Well, 73, Mr. Jeffro. And we will continue our chat at a subsequent day or time, and et cetera. Anyhow, good evening, best 73. WA6DKD. Hasta la night, night.
WX5MOR.
Hey, you're pretty much there, Galen. Go ahead.
I got me a couple of these new bangled Bofang dual bands today. WX5MOR.
Oh, a little bit of white noise and really low audio. But we can hear you anyway when we listen hard.
Yeah, well, this is one of those DMR rings, so I'm going to have to try and make sure I've got everything. I've just got analog stuff in it now, but I'm going to figure
out. Anyway, WX5MOR. Very noisy on that trip, but could tell you ID'd and you got some analog going, and that's it. Everything else got too weak. You moved a few inches, and that was enough to lose you. Anyhow, have a good evening, sir, and good luck with that radio. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time with it when you get her up and running.
Yeah, hanging out with it next to you. Anyway, WX5MOR.